I'm very excited about today because I tell you, it really encourages the pastor when the Lord prepares the hearts of the people for the message. Because today I want to talk with you about water. And the Lord has spoken to us about water today already. Water is so essential to life. What would we do without water? Fresh water is so important to our lives. It quenches our thirst. Without it, there would not be any food. Of course, it cleans us. For recreation, we like to swim in water. It refreshes us. It brings life. And water is necessary for life. Everyone needs water. Today we had the song on oceans, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, again, we do want to thank you for the veterans that are in our midst today, Lord God. We thank you for all veterans and their families that have been willing to give of themselves for the freedoms that we're able to enjoy. And particularly, we thank you for the freedom to worship you, the freedom of religion, Lord God. And we just give you all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like to start out in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. And Ezekiel here is being guided by an angel, the angel of the Lord. And this is the man that Ezekiel refers to in Ezekiel 47, verse 1. He says, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side." And so water was flowing from the temple. "As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep." I think of going to Greenbrier State Park and going to Greenbrier Lake, and maybe the lake, the water is cold that day, and you've ever kind of gone in, you know, gingerly, and you know, you're going into water that's ankle deep. Verse 4. "He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee-deep." Knee-deep water. "He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was up to the waist." So now we're getting up to one swimming trunks. All right? Water up to the waist. And if it's cold weather, all right, you got goosebumps all over the top of your body. Verse 5. "The angel measured off 1,000 cubits, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?'" The angel asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, do you see this?" The water had gotten so deep that he had to swim. A couple of summers ago, I was looking at a lake. I saw a lake. And I started evaluating this lake. Started looking to see, you know, the other side of this lake. And I had done some swimming. And my niece took out her phone and she looked at the distance of this lake. And this lake was about 1/2 mile wide, 1/2 mile from where I saw it. The certain point that perhaps is the closest point across this lake. And it was about 1/2 mile distance. I did some consultation with Sylvia. Talked with my wife. I prayed. And then I went for it. I thought I would try to swim across this lake. I started out too fast though. And before I knew it, I'd gotten pretty good ways out there, but I was breathing hard. And I was very tempted to start panicking. because I was breathing hard and I was kind of really out there. And I looked back quite a distance. I looked the other side quite a distance, and I realized I was in the middle of this lake. This morning we had the song called Oceans. And I could really identify with some of the lyrics of that song. Keep my eyes above the waves. In fact, there was there was a boat that was maybe about 50 yards away from me. And I even yelled out, could you stay around here for a while? He didn't hear me. And in the lyric of this song, it says, where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and won't start now. And I will call upon your name. Yes. Claude gave the prophetic word, do not be afraid. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. Amen. Well, I was tempted to panic and turn back. But the Lord encouraged me to keep going. You see, before I had started, the Lord had encouraged me to relax and enjoy the adventure. And so that focus helped me. I started doing the backstroke. Or I started going like this on my back, you know, just to keep my head up and to breathe above the water. Or I started to take my time. And I just kept on going. And after a while, the other shore started to look like it was getting closer and closer. And I think, I'm going to make it. But I tell you, there was a period in there in which I was very concerned. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I really had to trust the Lord. The Lord calls us to swim. We are called to swim. We must swim. We can't just step into the things of God ankle deep. We can't just step into things waist deep or knee deep. But we have to dive in and swim in the things of God. We must be all in. The song this morning, Spirit Lead Me. The lyrics were, take me deeper. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. We have to yield ourselves and let go to God. We must be all in. We have to surrender and be willing to risk ourselves. That's the thing about swimming. If you ever taught someone how to swim, a child how to swim, they've got to be willing to surrender all and to let go, to get their face wet, to blow the bubbles and get their mouth and their nose in the water and learn how to blow bubbles and to release themselves to learn how to swim. We've got to release ourselves to God. We've got to be willing to sell all for Christ. Amen. Even our reputation, our desires, our wants. We've got to be willing to stake our future, our entire life, upon Christ. When we swim, we totally abandon ourselves. Our life is changed. We learn that we walk by faith and not by sight. We learn that walking by faith pleases God. We become holy as He is holy. And of course, the water of God's Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, cleanses us so that we may serve the living God. We are changed. There's a new power that comes into our life. And that is a power not for us. It's a power not to lord it over others. But it's a power to love and to serve others.
Amen.
Let's go back to Ezekiel 47, verse 6. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. When you walk along Great Seneca Creek, as I like to do, or along any creek or along any river, what do you see? You see trees that have grown up along the bank of the river because there's refreshing there. Those trees have a continual source of water there. And so there's trees, abundant vegetation along the creek. And it says here that there were a great number of trees, that there was life flowing. There were trees, there were vegetation, there was fruitfulness. And wherever the river flowed, everything lived. Verse 8, the angel said to me, This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Now the Arabah was a region without water between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. The sea here is referring to the Dead Sea, a sea that is lifeless. The Dead Sea is the lowest sea. It's 1,300 feet below sea level. It's also known as a salt sea, the saltiest sea. It's 25% salt. It's a sea that my dad, when he went swimming in it, was floating and needed some help to get back so he could catch his feet on the sea. All right, there's a serious buoyancy to it because of all the salt. And so it's called the Dead Sea. It's described by its name. It's dead. But when this water from God's temple enters the Dead Sea, the water of the Dead Sea becomes fresh. In Hebrew, the word means it becomes healed. It becomes fresh and life-giving. It's an amazing miracle of God. Are there any fishermen here? Any fisherwomen here? Anyone here who likes to fish? All right, okay, great. Have you ever gone fishing and there were just no fish? Have you ever gone fishing and there was an abundance of fish? Well, here with this fresh water, there is much marine life. There are many different fish that are caught. Look at verse 9. It says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Where the river flows, everything will live. There's life. There's abundant life wherever this river flows. And God calls us, yes, to enjoy this life-giving water, to enjoy this abundance, to enjoy this healing power in our lives, that we have this water in our life. Anyone guess what the water is yet at this point? The water is the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in our life. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands and the upon coming power of the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we have the Holy Spirit flowing inside of us. And that is life-giving to us. That cleanses us. It's a source of cleansing to our lives. It's a source of healing in our lives. That we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. But you know what? We're called not to just enjoy this water of the Holy Spirit for ourselves. We're called to share it with others. We're called to share this life-giving Spirit with others. We're called to go back and lead others to swim. And yes, to dive in. To really abandon ourselves to the Lord. To bring life and abundant life to others. The Bible says in John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. All right, worship team, you got to help me out. All right? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, in Hindu soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, that Holy Spirit is like a spring inside of us. And we have a spring inside of us that flows to others. And that's the focus. That when the Holy Spirit, when this water of life comes, this water of life coming from the temple, all right, and you got the ankle deep, and you got the knee deep, and you got the waist deep, and then you're just called to dive in, surrender to God, all right, when you're diving in, that really is symbolic of the Holy Spirit overflowing in our lives. And that's what we need. We need more than just the Logos word. Alright? I'm a firm believer of this congregation. The first pillar of Northgate Community Church is the whole counsel of God's word. But we got to trust God for the Rhema word flowing in our lives where the Holy Spirit is flowing. In other words, to apply the Holy Spirit to this word, to apply the Holy Spirit to our life, to let the Holy Spirit to be strong in our life. I guess what I'm saying, and this is what really I need to remind myself, because I am so steeped as a principal in the Proverbs, in the commandments, in the principles of God's words, the five biblical standards of Living Grace Christian School. You know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Obey and respect your parents, teachers, and other authorities. Be self-controlled and be self-motivated, all scripturally based. Only let wholesome and edifying words come out of your mouth, Ephesians 4:29. And then Colossians 5:23. And whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as unto the Lord, not unto men. I preach these things over and over and over again. At the same time, I need to remind myself, and we all need to remind ourselves, that we need the Holy Spirit. We need the empowerment of Jesus Christ. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need every day to spend time in praising Him and worshiping Him to get the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives. We got to remember that even though we have the Word, we cannot just do this and follow this Word on our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit inside of us. I need the Holy Spirit inside of us. As parents, we need the Holy Spirit inside of us. These students need the Holy Spirit inside of them. You know, children and young people need the Holy Spirit inside of them. My children need the Holy Spirit inside of them to help them to live this way. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help us to live up to the standard of God's Word. We can't just do it on our own. We need God.
Yes.
We need the Holy Spirit. We need the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
How do we get that?
Yeah.
Well, number one, we recognize that it's a free gift of God.
Amen.
That when we have come to Christ in repentance and faith and received Christ, John 1:13, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. All right, that we are born of the Spirit of God. That the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We need to remember that we have the Holy Spirit as a gift of God. We have the Holy Spirit. But we can't forget the Holy Spirit. We need to call upon God every day of our life. We need to enact His Word and to use our mouth. Again, he who believes in me, out of him will flow rivers of living water. And so we need to use our mouth. And one of the basic things we can do is start praising God. God inhabits the praises of His people. How does He inhabit our praises? Through the Holy Spirit. Alright, we believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. And the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. God comes to live inside of us. And so we have to get that enacted through speaking the Word of God, through praising God, to letting Him inhabit our praises, to have the Holy Spirit be moving in our life, the Holy Spirit be inhabiting this temple of the Holy Spirit. And then yes, when we come together as a congregation and we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we are that corporate home for Christ. We're that corporate habitation to let the Holy Spirit move. And that's an exciting thing in our lives. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And so to see the Holy Spirit as rivers of life, as streams of life, as waves, as an ocean, as a waterfall, as a spring, cleansing us, purifying us, bringing His healing power in our lives. You know, even as I'm preaching it right now, I just feel like I'm being cleansed and my mind is being freed, and we're just freed to serve the living God. We become healed. And so where this river flows, everything will live. This life-giving water, this water bringing healing, this abundant life, what is it? It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit need not be dormant in our lives. The Holy Spirit need not simply be a doctrinal statement, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a real being, a real person, a real power in our life. God Himself that comes to live inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. We need to access the Holy Spirit every day of our lives in order to respect our teachers, in order to be treat our fellow classmates the way we'd want to be treated, in order to encourage our children, in order to teach our children, in order to work with our boss, in order to whatever we've got to do, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're called to let the Holy Spirit flow from within us, the Holy Spirit outward to others. And so it's not just for us to hoard. Us to have this great living water, this sweet tasting spring, this precious resource. It's not just for us, but it's for us to share with others. Again, out of Him will flow rivers of living water. So we use our mouth to bring the river of life to others. Verse 10 says, fishermen will stand along the shore. From En-Gedi to En-Englaim, there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. En-Gedi means spring of the goat. It was a strong spring. En-Englaim was spring of the two calves. And so there was spring water there, fresh water coming from the spring. It says in verse 11, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. So this water, again, is the life-giving Spirit. It brings fruit. It brings healing. What are some of the things that this life-giving water brings? The freshness of the spring water. It brings cleansing. We need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed so much so that, you know, we got not just a trickle of water and get a little dirt off of ourselves, but we need the rushing water of the Holy Spirit cleansing every nook and cranny, you know, the deep recesses of our heart and our being to give us total cleaning so that we can serve the living God. What does this fresh water bring? It brings swarms of living creatures. It brings many kinds of fish. And of course, this fish is food. God brings us food. He feeds us, and so we're fed even by this fresh, life-giving water of the Holy Spirit. It brings fruit trees of all kinds. And these fruit trees bear fruit not just on a yearly basis, not just on a seasonal basis, but these fruit trees bear fruit every month. Every month. And so bringing fruit. And so, of course, what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Against such things there is no law. There is no law against these things. The fruit of the Holy Spirit coming forth in our lives. It brings leaves. This water of the Holy Spirit brings leaves that bring healing. How many of you want healing? Amen. Healing in our minds, healing in our hearts, healing in our beings, healings emotionally, healings physically, healing. This brings leaves that bring healing. Again, verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. Again, the water of the Holy Spirit is flowing from the sanctuary. It's flowing from the temple of the Holy Spirit within us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so it's flowing from the temple of the Holy Spirit from within us. It's flowing from the habitation that is built, from the home that is built by Christ's body as we worship the Lord together. It's not this building. It's not that building. The temple, the corporate building, the corporate temple, the corporate habitation is us coming together as the body of Christ. When we come together as the body of Christ, as Christians together, covenanted together, to walk together, there's a spiritual dynamic that takes place. There's a life flow. There's a water flow that brings fruit, that brings healing, that brings cleansing. And that's why we've got to come together every week, because that flow is so important. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the entire Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Boy, do we need healing. The healing of the nations. The healing of the ethnicities of our nation. This is what it's about. This is the answer. This is the solution. This is how the Lord helps us as Christian disciples of Christ to be those ministers of reconciliation. As we allow the Holy Spirit to flow from out of us, we are bringing those leaves for the healing of the nations to others. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Trees bearing fruit every month. You know? We're called to be those trees. We're called to be those trees. We're called to be those leaves. Those leaves that bring healing. The healing of the nations. I'd like us to stand. There's another song that says, down the mountain the river flows. It brings refreshing wherever it goes. I'm not sure of the other parts of the song. The river refreshes the land. The river refreshes God's promised land. And it brings refreshing wherever it goes. The center of God's promised land is the New Jerusalem. This river of the Holy Spirit brings healing to the nations. It brings healing to different people groups. It brings healing even after contentious elections. Let's be ones who bring the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit to others. The last verse in the book of Ezekiel shares really the purpose of the book. In Ezekiel 48:35, it says, and the name of the city from that time on will be, the Lord is there.
Amen.
In capital letters. The Lord is there. Say that. The Lord is there. God is there. His presence is there forever. And that's what our world needs. Let's resolve to be ones that bring the life-giving water to others. Let's be ones that resolve to allow the Holy Spirit to be emanating from our lives. Let's be ones that out of our mouth, out of our hearts, out of our inner beings are flowing rivers of living water. And whatever context we are in, let's be ones that are bringing that power, that refreshing, that abundant life, that healing to the nations. Let's be ones that bring that life-giving Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to this world. Because we have a world that so desperately needs Him. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Father, we need the Holy Spirit in operation in our lives. Lord God, but more than just for ourselves, this world needs Your Holy Spirit. Help us to let Your Holy Spirit emanate from our lives. I pray that out of me would flow rivers of living water. Lord God, I pray that out of all of us would flow rivers of living water, Lord God. Rivers bringing life. Rivers bringing fruit. Rivers bringing healing to the nations, Lord God. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.